What about our enemies? You know, sometimes the things that God speaks to me or the things that He says, I have to think about them a little bit to make sure that they really fit in with what He's been telling me. You know, I mean, it's like God might not have things in chronological order or something. I just, you know, it's like, Lord, what does that have to do? I mean, we've been talking about that You're waiting for us, and we've been talking about, you know, that it's good, and we've been talking, you know, and but He spoke this to me, and you know, interestingly enough, yesterday I began to say, Lord, I know You spoke something to me. What was it? I'm sorry, Lord, I forgot. You know, I mean, I had an idea, but I couldn't remember. And I'm saying, Lord, just remind me of it. And He did last night. And today I was asking Him again, Lord, I know You spoke something to me, but I forgot again. This is awful, Lord. I'm forgetting what You said to me. I mean, and He told me again. So, because He had led me to Psalm 18, verse 41, and Psalm 41. Psalm 18, verse 41 says, You have also given me, they cried out, but there was none to save, even the Lord, but He did not answer them. Well, that was just that verse in itself, and I thought, well, now, wait a minute. I mean, because I like to read what He gives me, but I thought, I think I need to read around this just a little more to find out who cried out. Well, you see, David was talking in verse 37. He says, I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for You have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was no one to save, even to the Lord, but He did not answer them. Then I beat him as fine as dust before the wind, and I cast them out like dirt in the streets. What about our enemies? I like that David said, I pursued my enemies. I didn't entertain them. I pursued them. I recognized them for what they were, and I went after them. You know, we need to understand, you know, of course, we first of all have to make sure that our enemies are the enemy and that we aren't our own enemy. We're sometimes our own enemy, okay? And it's just good for us to search that out, to consider ourselves, to search our hearts, to make sure that we're under attack from the outside, not the inside. That it is indeed an enemy rather than that we are our own worst enemy. And, you know, I mean, it's just a self-examination. If I'm causing my problems, that's probably better pursue that one and get rid of my problem. If my doubts, my fears, my selfishness, my stubborn, my disobedience, my rebelliousness is causing me a problem, hey, it's not the end of the world. It's only the end of the world if I refuse to acknowledge that I am my own worst enemy. And I keep saying, oh God, my enemies are too great. My enemies are too great. My enemies are too great. Well, you see, that's a lie, because your enemies aren't too great. Nothing's too difficult for God. So if we're declaring that our enemies are too great, we got a little problem. Because God has a plan for the enemy. And His plan is for His destruction and our deliverance. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. So what about our enemies? Well, once we've, in all of our wisdom, ascertained that this is coming at me, well, then we can relax. Then we can stand into His rest. Because this is an attack of the enemy. And the Lord Jesus Christ came for what purpose? To destroy the works of the enemy. And so then, when we understand that the enemy is after us, we can pursue him in a hurry. We can tell him to go away and then enter into the rest of the Lord. Now, we have a new and better covenant But David was declaring here, you know, I have fallen, but I will rise again. He was saying, I pursued my enemies. Why? Because the Lord has armed me with strength for battle. The Lord has armed you with strength for battle. Say, the Lord has armed me with strength for battle. So if God be for me, who can be against me? See, what about your enemies? What about your enemies?
They're under my feet.
Yeah, I mean, so what? What about, who cares about the enemy? See, we pay too much attention to the enemy. We get too distracted by the enemy. We get too distracted by the fears without and the fears within. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. You know, Nike used Jesus. They said, just do it. That's what Jesus said, just do it. This is the way, walk in it. Just do it. If you turn over to Psalm 41... Psalm 41 says, blessed is he who considers the poor, the Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. He will sustain him on his sick bed. You know, blessed is the one that considers the will of God. Verse 10 says, but you, Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up. You see, David was talking here. He said, all that hate me whisper together against me. So what? Against me they devise hurt. So what? An evil disease, they say, clings to him, and now he lies down and he will rise no more. And even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Okay? There's a picture there of Jesus' attitude toward Judas. But it's for us to learn from. It's not for us to say, well, that's just a prophecy that about Jesus. That's about us too. Hey, it doesn't matter. God's for me. What about my enemy? What about it when people accuse you wrongly? What about it when they accuse you rightly? Either way, give it to the Lord. No, it doesn't feel good. No, it's a painful initial attack, but give it to the Lord. Because it's an enemy. If God's not speaking it to you or about you, if God be for me, what can man do to me? Nothing. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may repay them. This I know, you're well pleased with me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Simply because the enemy doesn't triumph over him, he's convinced that God is well pleased with him. The enemy can't triumph over you because God has a plan for you. And the enemy can't overturn God's plans for you. The best thing, his best effort, is to just keep you distracted from God's plan for you. His best effort is to get you focusing on that little tiny voice rather than the great big voice. Tonight, as the young people were worshiping when I came in, you know, and I'm always just blessed by that little bitty square box, that little tiny little iPod that's so full of praise music. And it's just a little thing. There she is. Praise the Lord. Enter and sign in, please, honey. You know, it's just a little thing, but my thought about it is, that little bitty box, it's only this big, plugged into this little bit bigger box, makes a great big sound with only just a little bit of volume. You could crank it up and shake the whole building. We did just a little bit, but not as much as we could have. But you see, that little bitty thing, and I thought, you know something? That's our prayers, we think they're just little bitty things. But those little bitty things, hooked up to a great, great big God, shake the earth. Tomorrow, when there are multiple millions of people praying, I have to tell you, I believe that God is excited about a national day of prayer. I think that He has angels on assignment, and He's prepared, you know, and he has declared, okay, everybody, be ready. Special attention. We're going to have a lot of incoming tomorrow. And we are going to miss one little bit of it. It's going to be great. I mean, He's getting them pumped up because He's excited about our little bitty prayers. And if a great, big, wonderful God, whose mercy is forever, is all excited about our little bitty prayers, what about our enemies? What about those things that rise up against us? What about those things that are so insignificant, they are nothing at all for God to help? Those it doesn't matter, it does not matter how big it seems. It does not matter how much air the enemy has pumped in to the things that rise up to try to obscure the greatness. It doesn't matter how big they look. The moment that we realize they are nothing, poof, they have to flee. Because when we submit ourselves, therefore, totally unto God and resist the devil, he has to go. And the enemy knows this, and that's why the enemy spends so much time trying to get us to focus on the wrong things, because if we focus on the right thing, we'll realize he's defeated. We'll begin to believe no weapon formed against us can prosper. That all those that rise up against us will fall. It really doesn't matter what the enemy says. We've had an interesting thing going on in our family because some people think that, like, Vicki and I are Satan ourselves. That we are a problem only because we have helped and loved someone. And accusing us. And Vicki was accused today. And how much to heart did you take the accusation? No, because you considered the source. We need to consider the source. God says He loves us, and the enemy says, God doesn't love you. Consider the source. He's not so much. He's a liar and the father of lies. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to take away from you the awareness that God's pleased with me. God's for me. So what about the enemy? He's nothing. He's defeated. He's a toothless lion. You have to submit yourself to him for him to gum you to death. You have to lay down and just let him do it. You see, there's a certain segment of society that doesn't really attribute all the evil to the enemy, but they recognize that there's some things wrong. And then there's another segment that actually worships the enemy. And he's got them convinced that he's got power. But the truth of the matter is, they can't get any of his power to work except around their own. They can't get it to work against you if you recognize it. They're defeated. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, what about your enemies? You see, we have to come to understand they're not so much. And we need to understand that even if that enemy of our souls manages to take on flesh to rise up against us, still the source is the same. If Vicky gets mad at me and says something to me, I need to remember, forgive her, Father. She knows not what she does. I just need to remember it more quickly sometimes. Because she's not my enemy. She loves me. Yes, she does. And I love her. That doesn't mean the enemy just, skips our house. The Jehovah's Witnesses skip our house. But the enemy doesn't necessarily skip our house. He attacks in the places where he can most easily attack. This morning we were having some interesting things at the house, and my girls are not always hugging and kissing each other anyway, but they've also spent the last 3 days with very little sleep, and so there was a certain amount of things going on. Finally I said to one of them, I said, don't bring those things into my house. I said, I'm just a tiny bit tired myself, and I may not be able to tolerate the bearer of those things, and we just need to not bring those things into our house. I recognize that if I didn't get a hold of those things, I might become the enemy. And so I fought the good fight of faith, and I very calmly, you'd have been proud of me, honey. I quenched that fire without having to rise up in all of my strength. Because I realized that if I let those buggers loose on me, I was in trouble. I was tired enough to be ugly. And I don't want to do that. So what about that enemy? And I have to tell you, I'm so glad that I did that. Because it was after that God reminded me what he had talked to me about. Now, had I not done it that way, I'd had to spend a lot of time repenting before I would dare to talk about it. But praise be to God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. He showed me what he wanted me to talk about before he reminded me what he wanted to talk to me about. And I just now caught on. And I realize that now. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? So if he's that good, what about the enemy? What about our enemies? See, aren't you so proud of Sue? She said she tried not to feel sorry for herself.
And now I'm really embarrassed. I forgot you guys didn't get any sleep either.
But that is awesome, Sue. Do you see? You know me, Sue. I see everything as progress.
Yes, I know.
She used to hate the way I saw progress, but not bad hate. I know there were times you couldn't wait to get off the phone with me, and that's okay.
We aren't on the phone very often.
Sue's one of those that if I call her house, it's kind of like, what do you want? Hello, my friend. Hello. It's always fun to be a pastor, show up at somebody's house, and they say, what are you doing here? What am I supposed to be doing here? I don't know. Just feel sorry for Vicky. She can't say that. What are you doing here? She has to live with me. I know y'all. I know you all pray for her a lot. I'm sure you do. But you see how much fun it is? That's what we ought to have when the enemy comes up. We should have, what about the enemy? He's defeated. And there's such a blessing in acknowledging that and putting him in his place and just praising the Lord. And just thanking God. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. Power in those words. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Sow them everywhere, the Lord said. Sow them everywhere. Wonderful seed, powerful seed. Sow it everywhere. You know, reveal his goodness. Reveal the victory. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, that he was adamant about put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. And when you have done everything to stand, then just stand. With your loins girt with truth. The truth is, the enemy ain't so much. In fact, he's defeated. Consider the source. Don't pay any attention to him. He's a liar. Don't pay any attention to anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of the truth. And in the most amazing ways, God will do things. And when he does things, acknowledge them. Like Bob and LeVon do tonight. That's God. That ain't Shirley. That's God. That's God in ways that they hadn't thought of. But God's thought of everything. And so the enemy comes and whispers other things. And we need to say, yeah, not so much. Get back. Get back. You're defeated. And I believe that that's what the Spirit of the Lord says when we begin to think that, oh, these enemies are rising up against me. The Lord reminds us and says, what about your enemies? What about that? Today I had a deal on. I love the internet from the standpoint of especially like checking my credit cards and stuff. I watch those babies because nobody's going to sneak something in on me. You know, they may try, but I'll get them. I know the 800 number. I know where to find it. And I'm checking my bill and I'm noticing that somebody who tried to abscond with money that wasn't theirs then rebated a lesser amount. And so I called and I said, you know, they took $84.99, they want to give me back $60. I can't let that be. I'm still going to contest this charge. And this lady on the other line says, I don't blame you. That's $25. I don't know about you, but $25. I said, I could take my wife for good coffee for $25. A couple of times. You know, but you see, the thing is that I watched that and I didn't go, oh, well, at least I got 60 back. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no. No, they should make a mistake and give me 30 more. Just because they've caused me to make two phone calls. My time is really well. But you know, I mean, the thing is that, hey, they can do what they want, but I'm not going to just let them get away with it. And as Christians especially, we need to quit letting the enemy just get away with it. We need to quit just sweeping things under the rug, you know. I mean, if he manages to get us to be our own worst enemy, he needs to pay for that too. Don't sit around and go, oh, I was so stupid, I shouldn't have done that, you know. Slap him upside the head. Put him in his place. Don't let him get away with that. Don't let him sit back and say, well, I guess I got you. No, 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 no. Go after him. David pursued his enemy. And then he crushed him under his feet. And then he enjoyed the thought of the fact that when I was ready to crush him, they were crying out for help. But nobody answered them. Why? Because they were my enemy. Don't allow him ground. Get it in your head. What about the enemy? You know, I mean, You have people that, you know, we went through a time where the spiritual warfare thing, where you were, people were out looking for demons under rocks, you know, and all the folks, we're gonna clean up this house and stuff. They ain't so much. Don't go looking for them. If they're under the rock, they're in a good spot. Leave them there. But you know, the thing is that we need to just keep our focus, you know. Look up and behold the glory of the Lord. Don't let the enemy have any ground. If he gets a little bit, don't let him get a little bit more. Smack him. Crush him. He's defeated. I know that the Lord is well pleased with me because my enemy doesn't triumph over me. My enemy is not going to triumph over me. He can try. And I'm not kidding you. You know, I'm not going to lie to you and say that he'll never be a little bit successful. But if we become strong in our understanding of the victory that the Lord has given us, he is not going to get very far. Because we're going to consider the source. And once we realize the source, we'll just ignore him. Just ignore. A soft answer turns away wrath. Don't even answer him. Get behind me, Satan. You have nothing in me. That's what Jesus said to him. You have no part in me. For this purpose were you saved. For this purpose were you filled with the Holy Spirit, to destroy the works of the enemy. To be a destroyer. To come on the scene and have the enemy leave other people when you come on the scene. When Jesus came on the scene, they cried out or left before they cried out. We only know of a couple that had guts enough to cry out. The rest just left. Those that cried out paid the price. We make the enemy pay the price enough, he just might not come around that much. What about the enemy? He ain't nothing. God's on your side. It's true. God is on your side. Don't focus on the enemy. Just don't. Prophets of old would say, you know, why do the wicked prosper? And then they would say, and then I gave it some thought and I realized their end and I thought, they didn't do so well after all. The deliverance that was Paul's, you ever think about when he said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've run a race, I'm ready for the prize. All of the experiences that he had, he was delivered from everything that the enemy could do. God had confirmed his word with signs and wonders, shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, raised up, escaped, abased, abound. Had a time where he just sat around and they brought people to him. That was quite a missionary journey that way, sitting in a nice place. He wasn't always in a dungeon. Ministering to the soldiers, making all those transformations in their lives, changing Rome while in jail. Basically, I think that he spent a certain amount of his time in jail. Yes, he spent some time in bad places, but he spent a certain amount of his time, just like Joseph did in Joseph's day, being treated well, being allowed visitors. Do you think a lot of people came to visit when he was in a real bad spot? They didn't allow people into a bad spot. And I don't know, I wasn't there. But all I'm saying is that by the time he said this, he was able to say to them, listen, you get on the armor of God. You stand, and you'll finish the same way I do. Finish the course, ready for the prize. I've learned how to be content in every circumstance. Why? Because the enemy ain't so much. Enemy thinks he's beat me. Put a snake on my arm. They all thought I'd die. Instead, I went and healed a bunch of whole bunch of people. A lot of people got saved. Stoned me, left me for dead. The boys gathered around. I got up. Now that impressed some people. More people got saved. Couldn't stop me. Why? Because the enemy ain't so much. He had a call from God. You have a call from God. You have an anointing from the Holy One. There's nothing small about anything that you lift up to God. Because you're hooked up to the Holy Spirit. And it just blares in the ears of the enemy. So, what about the enemy? He ain't nothing, right?
Amen.
Father, thank you. I pray that this will be sealed in our hearts that the enemy ain't so much. In fact, he's nothing. He's defeated. He's done. He's done gaining ground in our lives. I doubt that he's done trying, but he's done doing it. Because we are going to recognize him for what he is. We are going to squeeze him out of our lives and any influence that he has on us personally. And we are going to stop him from defeating us or defeating those around us. We're going to pursue him and crush him quickly and walk in victory. In Jesus' name, amen.